Good morning. I have a couple of folks that I haven't seen, and I'm really trying to break the habit of going over Buddha Dharma each time we see a new face here, and explaining what Buddhism is, because most of us operate under a real misconception as to what it is. And I'm trying to avoid that. So you'll probably be just bored or shocked, depending on which way I decide to go. Mujo sort of threw raw meat to a hungry tiger by bringing up pornography in his talk. And it was an interesting thing for me to listen to it. But he mentioned that he had talked to me about this experience of where he had gone to bed during Sesshin, and he related it quite openly here, decided he was going to have a little bit of a fantasy, and for some reason the Sharangama Sutra fell off and hit him in the head. See? And I think that, and I'm not sure, but I think that what he was pointing out, see, is that if you're in there behind your eyes daydreaming, you're in the realm of delusion. And where is the Buddha mind? See, the Sharangama made it very clear. Where is the Buddha mind? And Buddha, by the way, for the new people here, Buddha isn't an Asian deity. See, Buddha isn't a god. See, Buddha simply means awake. And when we say the Buddha mind, what are we talking about? What mind? We're talking about here, now, and awake. See, so the moral that I took from the story was, get out of your head and pay close attention. Now, it's this kind of addiction to an internal drama, see, that's ego-based. See, and for the main part, see, we have destructive, negative kind of thoughts that we hang on to. And you have to watch yourself very carefully. See, and this was one of the things that triggered my recommending, and it started with just a recommendation to Ryozen, see, and the people here, he just was diagnosed a week or two ago with cancer. And in talking to me, I watched him go immediately into negative, see, and I brought that right up to him. And then I started saying, you go in the opposite direction. Now, there's been all sorts of reactions to this. See, I called it an affirmation. And actually, the people who get into the healing arts will refer to it as an affirmation too. We could go into the dictionary to break it down, which I do. Now, Roshi considered the Webster's dictionary a Dharma book. See, but what we hear with an affirmation, see, is that when we constantly work in the ego side, it's negative. I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I can't do that. See, and it was an interesting thing, particularly with Ryozen, because Ryozen was one who reacted to something I had said or something I had talked about from my teacher. My teacher said, and I've early on, I don't know, probably Doman would tell you as long as I've been giving talks, I would bring up the things that Maizumi Roshi gave me as instruction, to act as if enlightened. See, well, Ryozen reacted to that, see, in a very vigorous sort of way. Oh, I couldn't do that. And it became very clear, see, in the course of our Doksan and talking about it, see, that for him, oh, to act as if you're a Buddha, he saw this as sort of puffed up and arrogant, see, and are those the words? see, a massive ego looking down on all of you. See, I am enlightened. At the Zen Center where I grew up with Maizumi Roshi, see, it actually got to be that crazy. I actually sat on the porch and a girl came in with this guy and she introduced him. She said, oh, and he's enlightened. And you didn't have to talk to him, but about a minute or two, and it was an egomaniac. See, what is an enlightened person? See, and then this is what I was trying. Is an enlightened person arrogant? Is a Buddha, an awakened one, are they arrogant? No. See? Well, what are they? They're compassionate. What kind of compassion is it? Is it ego-driven? I am compassionate toward all of you lowerlings. No. See, it is selfless compassion. What kind of compassion is that? I simply look out here because I'm not talking to myself behind my eyeballs. See, I look out here and I see what needs to be done, not what I think needs to be done. See, and for the people here who are therapists, see, if you can actually start to work with a client in that way, see, to see what the client, what the patient needs, not what you think they need. Because the only way you can write from there, see, is your own experience. And you're directly in conflict. See, so long as I know what you need. And see, we've talked about that from different dimensions. And I try to talk about it in ways that people will catch, see, to see where conflicts. My God, you live in a country that is going to pretty much be at war for the rest of your lives. See? Because the defense contractors have got it. We got terrorism. See, unless there's somebody strong enough, a lot of people are going to die for profit. See? I get off of my side rants. But to get you to understand something here. A gardenia. You see this? How is a gardenia pure? You look at the whiteness, that purity, and that fragrance. See, all of you have heard this over and over and over again. See how we relate to it. So if somebody would say, "We're going to bring a bouquet of gardenias in and put them in the room," see, for this intoxicating scent. See, all of you would think it was really a good thing. For me, for years, it would make me sick to my stomach. They weren't beautiful, they weren't vital, they were dead, and they stunk. Why is that? My experience, in the fifth grade, my best friend drowned. See, I went from Colorado. I don't know to this day whether where I came from, they raised gardenias. But they had a gardenia blanket over Bobby's casket. I was a pallbearer. I sat right by his head like this. And I'm looking at his head. See, and he looked like my grandmother's wax fruit. See, that's what he looked like. See, and it didn't look real. See, my grandmother had all these, I don't know if you remember in the old times, they had the wax fruit in the bowls. See, and that's what Bobby kept looking at. And then this stink I associated with death. And his face and those flowers, they had no texture. It stunk. That's my personal experience. Each one of you has a different personal experience. When I try to impose my personal internal egocentric experience, see, on this situation where we meet, and you impose yours, there is a conflict. Why? We are not seeing what needs to be taken care of. I'm reading images off the back of my eyeballs. So are you. In here, we have 25, 30 individuals, see, who have their own unique way as to how it should be. But the fact is, we all possess prajna, wisdom. Because we can all come together here. See, some of you are talking more to yourself. Some of you are already figured you made a mistake. See? Everybody's talking to themselves. See, but we intuitively know how to behave here. Do you see how simple it is? We intuitively know how to behave. You're talking to yourself. Now, if you start reacting from that place that you're talking about, one of two things. If you're a very well-mannered person and you're really getting annoyed, you just get up and leave. See, and we all, We all adjust to that. If you're sort of an idiot, an egomaniac, you'll get up and you'll walk over and you'll kick the lectern over and you'll punch the old man. See? And you would force Ryozen in his anger and his greed, he would attack you. See? And he would tear at your throat with his teeth. See? All because it's driven behind our crazy egocentric minds. Come out of that mind. Settle here. We're here for a reason. See? We're here for a reason. See? And what Mojo brought up in his talk, I liked. But see, here again, what was he doing? Was he seeing the Buddha mind? See? Or was he retreating into the egocentric mind? And, by the way, that's some of the reasons there are the prohibitions, see, against sexual conduct. Sexual energy is tremendously powerful. Tremendously powerful. And in the vast majority of instances, see, it isn't particularly constructive. Why? Well, how can that be, Nyogen? See, it goes from the depths of absolute hell. I worked for 21 years. I was a supervisor in a crisis unit here for children's services. I can tell you what goes on in the street with child porn. I can tell you about literally snuff movies. Doman knows, Gendo, one of my workers came here, had one of the most famous cases, had to leave after the case, an 18-month-old little boy, see, butchered. See, it's energy. That if it isn't handled right, it degrades. Well, when you say a majority, yeah. How many situations do you know? Your normal friends, do their families have disputes, breakdown? How much time is it driven behind sexual energy? See, this is all. Now, in the Sharangama, and I'll get to that because I want to kick it around a little now. And literally, I'm going to kick it a little bit. But in that, see, the Chinese master who was talking, he was a contemporary, died in 1995, and I have a lot of respect, but you could begin to see his limitations. And he lashes out at the Tantra men in Tibet who think you can liberate through that, and it's wrong, it's false, they're wrong, you can't do it. This was always one of my complaints, particularly with the Chinese that I dealt with. They were so trapped in purity, see. And when you're trapped in purity, what do you immediately bring up? The defiled. See? Guaranteed. And by the way, I'm just going to get this in here very quickly. I have to bite my tongue. I used to say that you can find no place in the Buddhist canon where they recommend violence. See? In the Abrahamic books, see? They rationalize any kind of butchery, stone people to death that you don't like. Somebody tries to get you to go to some other kind of church, stone them to death. If your kids don't believe, stone them to death. Stone your wife to death. See? And I said, you won't find that in Buddha Dharma. Have you got that far in the Sharangama where they had, see? He talks about crushing the skulls, the bodhisattva, crushing the skulls of the demons. See? And again, the sutras, see, are simply guides. And let me tell you that this is something that some very bright people, the Sharangama has this, for me, the same weakness as I'm moving along. But for those who are highly intellectual, who like detail, see, in the smallest point, it's okay. But, see, there is no place where that kind of language is even acceptable to Buddha Dharma. Buddha Dharma has been expressed by the great Dogen Zenji, Zen master, and the Chan masters. They say they'll quote. There are things that you can quote from it quite beautifully. See? But to even use the imagery. Now, let me point out to you that these demons, see, are as empty as anything. And so you have to be very careful, the people who translate. See? And I don't trust because the translators. One of the other things in the sutra, see, and I want to bring this up because it does have these things that we've had. See, you don't eat the certain plants of the onion, of the bulbs. See, onions and stuff, garlic. And according to them, see, because it brings on sexual arousal. Then they throw in the real reason. See, when anybody is trying to control anything, be very careful of them. But they said that it's also an offensive odor. Actually, this is absolutely true, and I understand why they bring this up. We had a guy over at ZCLA who ate live garlic. And have you ever been about anybody that really gets into it? It will stink till you want to throw up. And people would not come. Didn't I have you talk to him? Yeah, I couldn't believe it. And they said it also brings up anger. And so, you bet. If this guy wouldn't have stopped coming in, he would have seen a very angry Nyogen. See, I would have thrown him out. See, yes. See, the stink of it. You watch people come in here. Have you ever been caught where people use really heavy laundry soap? I mean, where you can hardly... Am I the only one that's had that experience? See, offending. See, anything that offends, anything that I impose on this space. On this space. See, now, when I talked about affirmations... See, what is an affirmation? See, we have to counter the negative. And Ryozen was going into the negative, and we all do. We all go into it. See, and it was interesting in talking with Ishan to talk to me about how he goes into the negative. See, well, I see that very clearly with him. But it's for him to watch how he constantly goes to the negative, how Ryozen goes to the negative. And some of you have talked. Some of you are working with it the way it's supposed to be worked with. See, it is transforming. See, because you have to balance. See, yes, absolutely, to forget the self. We enter into a deep state of samadhi. Samadhi means non-distracted awareness. See, here, non-distracted awareness. See, but if you're constantly going into the negative, and we do this during Sesshin, and it's a particularly hell realm for me, because you watch the people come in, and if you get quiet enough, if you get still enough, you'll begin to see the most amazing thing here. See, this is not rigid, fixed material. This is emptiness in the absolute sense. There is no solid material, no solid mass here. Talked to Shikhan at lunch because he checked me out when I talked about this. See, even the scientists see this. It's energy vibrating at different levels. That's all. Energy vibrating at different levels. Don't get caught into asking, where did it come from? At this level of functioning, you can't answer that question any more than the classical physicists can tell you how this all came into existence. See, what you have to realize, see, is that when we talk about an affirmation of what you're doing, you have to break the old patterns. And we use anything that we can. We start by using the breathing. If you're counting, you're not up in your head working on negative aspects. But you all know this, that counting, going to a sesshin, becomes difficult in and of itself. See, it becomes difficult. See, and you'll come in and you'll talk, well, I can count to six and then I'm gone. And I'm in. And where are you gone? You're either into some porn. I throw that to Mooj, see, or you're into negative. And I'll even guarantee you the porn is negative. See, anything that I go into behind my eyeballs, see, and I'm doing this to try to make it more graphic for you, see, that's delusion. That's what clouds over what? This. Now, neuroscience will tell you, do you want to know what's really behind your eyeballs? See, and still people don't get it. When you start to get it, they start to come out. The moment they this is what's behind your eyeballs. What you're looking at, that's what's behind your eyeballs. Now, samadhi means non-distracted awareness. It means you're not talking to yourself. When you start to talk to yourself, watch some of you in here. If you start talking to yourself, you gloss over. You don't see this. And then you can build the fantasies to such an extent, see, that you live. And if you deepen your samadhi, I'm stunned how my fantasies were so palpable that I began to shape what I was looking at, changing what I was looking at. And you can see that in a state of deep samadhi. See, and there is prajna. See, there is this energy to help us. That's what picked the book up and slammed it in Mujo's head. And you know what they said? A guy was talking to me. It was a demon who was confirmed. And he said, you know what I said? You old shit, and kicked him in the head and said, wake up, wake up. See? See? Again, when constantly, if you're going to go and you experience the negative, see, you then counter it at that point, which is to positive. See, and the people who've done it, Ryozen's done it, we had a couple of others here who have done it, who've talked to me about it. It will change you. See, and it isn't, you're not getting into more ruminating thought. See, you simply, what I work with, see, I work with, I release all tension. See, and because all of you pretty much know a lot about my background, I release all anger. See, and in that, I release all anger. I am forgiving. Where am I telling myself to talk to myself? I'm changing energy. See, then I release all fear. Fear for me was big. Fear and anger. I release all fear. See, and I'll point again at Ryozen can tell you that you can have a physical response to it. Is that true? It is, if you do it. See, and when I sit down, I'll just go through that. I go through that. See, I release all tension because of what my body experienced when I was little, the cells, see. And then anger, I release all anger. And most of you know, see, that I, see, carried anger. See, I was a violent person, see. And today I'm just an old man, crippled up hand. But when I was a young man, see, I was very strong and I was very fast and I could inflict pain on you in a hurry. And I did. I wasn't a bully. I was very selective. I hated authority. Good reasons. Doesn't matter. I could dwell on it forever. Nothing would change. As a matter of fact, Western psychiatry isn't particularly successful in working with anger management. I would go into a rage and I never knew why. I never beat up on little people. I never hit a wife. My own children were never. No, corporal punishment was never used. See, but if I saw somebody as a bully or as a pushing their authority, I just had to challenge it. Anger. So I worked. But now, see, because of the abuse that I went through in the muscle memory, that's when I started shifting and working in a different way with this. But my anger dropped with just my practice. If you just focus on the practice, it will lead you through this. But we can facilitate. We can move more quickly. See, if you remind yourself, see, to release whatever it is. Don't, if it's building ego or encouraging thought, then this is not the way. See, and for Ryozen, I gave him some very specific things for healing. See, do you believe that there are healers? Of course there are. My Dharma grandfather, Kori Roshi, you all know the story. See, he saved Roshi's older brother's life when the doctors couldn't. You go down to the Church of Religious Science and they have boxes and boxes of miraculous cures if you believe. See, if you believe firmly enough that you have dropped, see, the tension in your body, it should leave. Sometimes, if it's been very severe, in my situation, this was it. See, I still have to work with it. Even though I have a fairly sustained state of samadhi, my anger went. See, many other things are transformed. But if I keep going back, and I think this is what Mujo was talking about, if you keep going back to the addiction, you reinforce it. So I immediately, with Ryozen, gave him something to counter that. Don't go there. Start each morning, see, with this positive thing. Now, is this foreign to Zen practice? No. This is what Maizumi Roshi talked about when he said, act as if enlightened. Is an enlightened being, is a Buddha, is an enlightened Bodhisattva, are they tense and neurotic and nervous? No. See, release all of the tension in the body. See? Are they angry? Are they arrogant? No. So release all anger. That's what an enlightened person is. There's no anger there. See? I'm forgiving. See? Are they forgiving? Absolutely. Will they help? I'm compassionate. What is a Buddha? What is a Bodhisattva? A Bodhisattva vows not to enter into Nirvana until they save every suffering sentient being. And suffering sentient beings are numberless. So that is an eternal vow. They will never go into it. That's where you're looking at this point, Hogan. See? That's the vow. If you can make that vow, see, that I'm not trying to accomplish anything anymore. I'm working for the sake of all those who, this is the great Mahayana. See? The Mahamudra, if you'd like. See? And once you do that, what have you become? You're a functioning Buddha. If you're still involved in trying to save yourself or accomplish something, you're still hooked into the self. See? So Roshi was giving the same thing. And again, see, and this was beautiful. It was Ryozen's internal conditioned mind that gave a definition, see, to what an enlightened person is. See, is an enlightened being, is a Buddha or a Bodhisattva, are they frightened? Do you live in fear? Are they frightened? See, I release all fear. A Buddha is fearless. That's one of the names. Fearlessness. What's there to fear if the entire, see, universe and beyond is nothing other than your Buddha mind, your awake mind? What are you fearing? See, so when I gave that, we use the gimmicks. See, you release fear. You release anger. See, you release guilt. See, you release all of the old limitations that you hold. You love. I love my, this is an egocentric love. I love myself. I accept myself. See, if you can't accept yourself, who you are, where you are, as you are, you will never actualize Buddha Dharma. You have to counter the negative. See, and some of you in here, we've been going over this years and years and years. Same old negative crap. See, here one of the old masters said, if it's true that Buddhas and ordinary human beings are the same, why do Buddhas experience happiness? Happiness, joy, unhindered freedom. Unhindered, not afraid to go any place. Not afraid to confront anything. Well, people like us, egocentric, sentient beings, see, we fall into birth and death, and we suffer all sorts of pain and fear, rejection. See, why? Why if we say it's all the same thing? And his response was, the Buddhas of the 10 directions. 10 directions? Infinite directions. See, that's you. You are the Buddha of the 10 directions. There is no place that your awakened mind doesn't reach. Right now, we're trapped in the six senses. So this is the realm that we function in, trapped in it. And if we're caught in our head, we're delusional. See, and we're angry and we're greedy. Read your newspapers to see what it produces. See? The Buddhas of the 10 directions realize the true nature of things and spontaneously perceive the source of mind. Errant imaginings do not arise. That's going into your negative stuff. Now see, we have to work there. It's tough. See, so we devise techniques. Remember, my teacher was perhaps, I don't think there's any doubt, the greatest koan master in the world, see, of his era, and probably, I don't know how far back you'd have to go. See, you'd have to go way back to get anybody, see, that had an understanding of this. And what did he say? The techniques that we use the breathing, because the breathing, the Latin, life, in the hara, see, coming out of the head, see, in the hara, see, focusing out of the head, out of the head. See, if I could come out of this ruminating stuff, then I look out here and I'm truly looking into mind. See, truly looking into mind. And what did he say about all of these? These are gimmicks. Gimmicks, but genius, see, in conception. And he said to me, Nyogen, I cannot conceive of the kinds of minds, see, that would conceive of this form of practice. No other practice in the world of any spiritual or religious. See, and this isn't a religion. See, and particularly Chan was opposed to the institutionalized dogma. We have a form because then you have to make the egocentric aspect of you adjust, adapt to the form. You don't want that. You want to play in your egocentric mind. See, you have to adjust to this. You have to begin to give up all of that crap. Cookie cutter, bang. All of the dough on the outside of that is ego. See, and when you wake up and you're clear here in a state of samadhi, in this place, you know how to function. And if you cultivate it, if you go deeper, you will find the joy, the bliss. It's there. Some of you have touched it. See? And what do you immediately do? What have you done? See, you either try to greedily hold on to it, and you know what happens? It squirts away instantly. See? It isn't something you can possess. See? Or you immediately go negative and you reject it, as some have. Say, well, I know that's not it. See, but you will accept the pain, the suffering, the misery, the unpleasantness as the norm. Yes, that is the norm. See, that is your normal delusional state. That's why you're ascension being. That's why you're in samsara. That's why we're in a hell realm. But don't even experience negativity for the hell realm. This is where we have all chosen to be born, to reincarnate. And the Chan masters say, we are reincarnating here because this is the place that it's easiest to work on enlightenment. See, the whole process is evolvement of consciousness. The evolvement of consciousness. If you don't get that, see, then you're going to miss the most amazing journey. See? He said, the Buddhas don't leave the spontaneously perceiving the source of mind. Errant imaginings do not arise. Accurate awareness is not lost. Accurate awareness. That's what I say. See, if you're going into negative, oh, let's counter that. Let's release all negative thoughts. That's an I release all negative thoughts. If you go through that, if you use it in the morning when you first get up, if you reinforce, see, positive, I embrace my life. I love my life. I rejoice in each moment. See, listen, some of you sitting here, rejoice in each moment. You say, well, my life is pretty shitty. Well, talk to Mitsuan or talk to Ryozen right now, both of them battling cancer. Then tell them about how shitty it is that maybe you didn't get the date you wanted or you didn't get the car you wanted. Put yourself in their shoes. See, then tell us about it. See, if you're not having any of those pains and any of those tests right now, be grateful, because you're going to catch them. That's a guarantee. You know what the end result of this game is? Old age, sickness, and death. That's a winning hand. Does that sound good? See, if it sounds good to you, it didn't sound good to the Shakyamuni Buddha. He thought, that sucks. That's what he actually said. How can anybody find happiness here? Even if you got $10 billion. See? And think, the fear is there. Yeah. I'm going to die. Oh my God. What have I amounted to? And because they're so totally, see, devoid of any of this, then these are the 10%ers in the near-death experiences. 10% are pretty grim, see. The egotistic, possessive attitudes disappear, so they are not subject to birth and death. Do you see? Do you even believe it? See, and I've tried to get, if you see this realm is this tiny little part of mind. Have you jumped out? Some of you are jumping out. See, if you're jumping out, this is mind. See, this is how we come out from the burning house. See, and realize, this is infinite space. See, in this, see, in the samadhi, there are no dimensions, there are no barriers, there are no boundaries. And this is what you are right now. See, we're caught in the six senses. But you and the six senses, this thing here, this is, see, the house on fire. They talk about it in the sutra, the house on fire. See, and what does the king do? He finds the children in there. That's us in there. See, and then he shouts in through the windows. Where are the windows? See, your eyes and your ears. And he shouts and says, come out here. Come out here. That house is on fire. That house is burning. See, it's always burning. Ask Mitsuin if it's burning. Ask Ryozen if it's burning. Ask Kogyo if it's burning. It's on fire. Ask me. I'll be 77. I mean, I'm almost into a raging forest fire here. See? It's a house on fire. Come out. Come out. Where? Here. This can be done. And when it's done, it's an amazing kind of thing. Then you can begin to see what these old men, they don't lie. You transcend birth and death. See, you see beyond this. Now, see, well, I won't go in that other part. See, we'll move on. Because they are not subject to birth and death, they are ultimately tranquil. So obviously, all happiness naturally comes to them. This is taken from one of these sutras. See, this is real. See, if you come out, see, freeing yourself from that. So then the positive, see, we're just adding another tool to work with. See, as you sit down, see, some of you were upset by it. See, no, then I'm not telling anybody to think it. Keep with your practice. See, but it was clear to me that Ryozen was slipping into the negative. And he can, he can tell you, see, and others, that when you really do this, you'll begin to experience a difference. Then you and somebody else hit the same wall. See, said, wow, Nyogen, oh, this is true. Wow, this really did bring about a change. But now I have found that I'm not moving much with this. Oh, wonder why. Is that called expectation? Where in this, see, did people tell you to raise expectation? Expectation is the egocentric obstacle. Ego. Expectation. No expectations. You simply sit zazen for the sake of zazen. You don't sit zazen. We do it first. We use a gimmick to save all sufferings. But for me, I first sat to save myself. That's Hinayana, the little vehicle. I was so little vehicle, you can't believe it. See, totally egocentric, see? See, and then Roshi would talk a little bit later to me, quite a bit later, actually. I struggled on one koan 5 years, and I really wrestled with it for 5 straight years. See, And then he would start to say, and I didn't like it. He'd say, Nyogen, you don't sit Zazen to save all suffering sentient beings. You don't sit Zazen to save yourself. And then I'd argue, I said, well, Roshi, I do. See, because I got to be saved. I'm in a lot of despair. And he'd say, Nyogen, you sit Zazen for the sake of Zazen. I did not like that. I didn't want to hear that. If I could have, I'd have put my hands over. Don't say that, Roshi. See, I sit Zazen for the sake of Zazen. And if you begin to see where this essence is, you'll see those were the greatest gifts that he could give. See, the moment, see, I try to put another head on top of my head, see, I'm still trapped in the egocentric world. See, so long as I go into that negative again, see, then the tranquility. And more importantly, if you reinforce the negative, what brings about dis-ease? Dis-ease. Roshi would talk about this a lot. Dis-ease. Disease. Dis-ease. What's one of the great counters to disease? An antidote. Dis-ease. Atonement. At one meant. See, if we enter into that with what we have just been through, see, the negative attitudes, that's what it said, negative attitudes have to dissipate. You don't try to suppress it by saying, I won't think about it, I won't think about it. No, you simply release all negative energy. I just release all of the negative thoughts. I release all negative thoughts. I release my anger. See, we're not suppressing anything. See, that ties you in another knot. I just release it. And I'm not sitting around thinking about it, and I'm not trying to judge it. The fact of the matter is, in innocence, in beginner's mind, when you try it, it's worked. See, right here, I quickly look at three people who all that come in and have had positive experiences with it. Real positive, see? And again, then if you build up an expectation, then you hit the wall. This is what we do in koan practice. This is what we're particularly working on. Say, we'll work on our first koan like a muji, the sound of one hand clapping. See, my expectations. I sit here waiting to be enlightened. See, and we do that, and that's the hell realm we work in because it's painful. Then we slowly begin to enter into samadhi. When I enter into samadhi, see, what happens? I drop all of the struggle, the striving. Samadhi is a non-distracted state of awareness. Non-distracted. Where's distractions? I have to go up into my head. I have to talk to myself. You realize if anything comes through here, I'm not talking to myself. It's not a distraction. I have to react from the egocentric self. In a state of samadhi, see, you'll say, well, if I don't react, I'm a zombie. No, you're not. I'm an automaton. No, you're not. You will be able to respond, see, perfectly. See, perfectly to the situation. See, that's what they'll talk about. See, a Buddha, see, with absolute perfection. Fa Yen said about it. What did he say about this place of not knowing? Non-distracted, not knowing. He said it means to know everything perfectly and how to respond according to the person, the place, the time, and the amount. Absolute perfection. They are perfect in their reactions. See, think. See, you clouded over. See, if you land on those experiments, remember, 10-second lag. See, you make the right decision. Then you got 10 seconds to screw it up before you bring it here. Ego. Ego. See? It's an amazing thing. See, amazing thing. If we don't think, see, our nature becomes utterly empty. Now again, don't put a definition on emptiness like an empty bucket or an empty hole in the ground. If we don't, the egocentric thinking we're talking about here, we don't suppress the thoughts, we don't follow them. When we, again, they're telling about something here. When we think, we transform ourselves. See? If we think evil thoughts, we turn into the denizens of hell. See? If we think good thoughts, we turn into the heavenly realms. See? Where there's an absence of fear and suffering and greed. See, we enter into the great tranquility. See, and we're fearless there. He said, malice turns us into beasts. Compassion turns us into bodhisattvas. Wisdom transports us to the higher realms. And ignorance sends us to the lower realms. That's why. See, yes, we use everything at our disposal. See, I somehow thought that we were all getting that when act as if enlightened. You can say, see, I am a Buddha. I am a Buddha. But now make sure you know what a Buddha is. A Buddha is selfless compassion. A Buddha is fearless. A Buddha is generous. See, a Buddha, see, is free, see, freed, see, from egocentric suffering. A Buddha sleeps easily. What does the great Hongzhe said? See, if you're practicing right, your sleeping is deep and restful. And then what does he say? You frolic in a samadhi of bliss forever. Not only was he a spiritual genius, he was an intellectual genius. He understood the meaning of his words. See, we have to be careful how we work with our words. That's why, see, I was going after Ryozen there. See, drop the name. What do you gain? See, Jotai had a real nice comment. She said, take your damn hand off the stove if you want the pain to end. Don't go into the negative thoughts. Counter it. And give yourself that affirmation, that reinforcement. See, I drop all, I release. Yeah, just release it. All fear. I release all anger. I release all greed. See? Yeah, what's wrong with that? There's nowhere do you think about how that's going to be interpreted in your head. You just release those things, then you go to your practice. He said, our nature is constantly transforming itself, but deluded people are unaware of this. It is just this nature of original enlightenment that saves us and Buddhas. See, with right views. Right views. See, I was surprised some of you were offended, see, by making a positive statement concerning yourself. How sad that you live in such a bleak, barren, unpleasant world that you are offended if somebody tells you to love yourself. What kind of love are you talking? That's pornography. That isn't what they're talking about. Do not speak ill of the three treasures. You are the three treasures. Those of you with raksus and robes, see, you take those not to speak ill. That's a vow, see, of yourself. If you can't love yourself, who the hell is going to love you? I'll guarantee you, you will make yourself ugly. You will go out of your way to be offensive because you want that image of yourself to be met. Think about it. So long as you struggle with, see, what the hell are you struggling with? You're not buying some kind of a program here. This is a place where you can sit down, face a wall. When you face the wall, who are you facing? Yourself. See? And Buddha, he gave us, see, the Eightfold Path. He gave us a template to walk out. He didn't give us dogma. See, and the idiots who have written and distorted some of the sutras to where women are secondary students, I want to see them come in here and convince me of it. Tell me, where is the secondary nature here? See, those, I don't care who they're, they've never seen it in their dreams. It's just this nature of original enlightenment saves them with the right views. Once they realize the prajna wisdom of right views, they dispel their ignorance and delusion, and each being, each one of you, saves themselves. See, if you think, I'm going to save you, no, if I could, I would. They dispel their ignorance and their delusion, and each being saves themselves. See, some of you have really struggled with that. You intuitively know there's something here in this Buddha Dharma, this amazing little temple. See, and some of you know who have been around, it's sort of a miracle the way it's grown. We had no resources, and it's here. See, and it's really miraculous. It's here. It's a template. It's a raft. And for those, see, who want to free themselves, dispel their ignorance, but they have to save themselves. Now, we'll go back to my crazy physicist. I'm coming close to the conclusion for those of you who are already in a hell realm. See, he says, and I'll say it, this is Tom Campbell. He said, now, think about the journey that you can take with this man, and I don't know whether you saw this part, Ishan, or not. See, your mind must be calm. Did he help you with that? Your mind must be calm. It should be clear, steady, without unruly chatter or noise, or you cannot differentiate between what your mind creates and what exists independently of your mind. See, now he's talking here, this is a physicist with NASA. I don't think he's with NASA anymore, is he? He's retired. Do you know he should know? See, he's talking about what we've just talked about. See, calm, the inner world, calm. See, steady, not involved in chatter. See, then you see things as they are. See, not the made up. You can see the real from the unreal. The unreal is what you make up, see? That is why finding and learning to exist and operate within the calm, unperturbed center of your consciousness is always the first step. That's from a physicist. That's a state of samadhi. By the way, yes, he does the out-of-body stuff. He has been in, he was one of the early pioneers, actually the first three pioneers of the Monroe Institute. See, which in a certain sense I pushed away from, although what they talk about is real. That's the book Proof of Heaven. See? Near-death experience. See, I grew up with it. My grandfather, you all heard this 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times. See, he was pronounced dead. See? And then many, many decades later, when he did die, fearless. Fearless. Absolutely no fear of death. See? That is why finding and learning to exist and operate within the calm, unperturbed center of your consciousness is always the first step. By the way, he'll also tell you, see, he does all the other stuff. He said, don't waste too much time on it. Meditate. Meditate. And then every once in a while in interviews where he's been interviewed and stuff, he'll let something slip because he really stays away from it. He said, well, Shakyamuni Buddha said all of this is an illusion. I found that fascinating, see? He said, now listen to this. Never try too hard. If you ever become frustrated, you are trying too hard. She said, this is most important. Listen to this. This is most important. Have absolutely no expectations and no specific goals. My God, that's from a NASA physicist. That's to sit in a state of non-distracted awareness, to sit in samadhi. That's Roshi. You do Zazen for the sake of Zazen. See? What we're returning home. You don't have to produce home. You can't produce home. Anything you're trying to produce is delusion. Now my teacher said, the Buddha land. See? Now you know they talk about Buddha lands. And see, and through the sutras they'll talk about Buddha lands. And I think the Tibetans talk a lot about Buddha lands. See? Buddha lands. Where's a Buddha land? I think I talked to you about the one I read where he, and I as I matured, I saw it differently, see. But he said he'd never seen a Buddha land, but he believed they existed. And at first I was a little bit critical. This was actually one of the teachers of the Dalai Lama. See, but then I realized that what he's being is just terribly honest. And he's acknowledging that he hasn't had the enlightenment experience, but he believes that enlightenment is real. You can't kick somebody around for being honest. And I'm not being facetious here. See, the other way I was just sort of negative, saying he had absolutely no understanding of what the Buddha is about. See, but now I'm thinking really that he was just being a very, very honest man. And that's, you have to, no self-deception. See, he wasn't pretending to be something. See, so I'd never seen one. I believe they exist. That's okay. The Buddha, this is Roshi, the Buddha land is not located somewhere far from where one is. See? All sentient beings are the Buddha land. And the Buddha land appears in accordance with the way sentient beings think. This is Mizumi Roshi. See? It appears in accordance with our attainment. And when a bodhisattva attains enlightenment and becomes a Buddha, see, this fact is manifested in the metaphor of the inexhaustible lamp from which innumerable lamps are lit, thus symbolizing the inexhaustible potential of each individual. That gets a little, see, this lamp, what is transmission? See, if you really, really experience this, see, this is what Mizumi Roshi was here, his soul goal, and all of them, 81 generations from Shakyamuni Buddha, see, down. A lamp is lit, see, and in the room with the teacher, the lamp turns on. And this is what, for me, there was always this sort of image, because when I first started to practice with Roshi, he would say, the student is like in a dark room. I thought it was metaphorical. See? But the student is literally in a dark room. And he said, it's like the student is stumbling around, bumping into walls and tripping over things. That's literally, that's a factual description of it. See? And now, when I work from it, and as pathetic as my attainment is, see, I look over sometimes and I think, well, for God's sake, open your eyes. Open your eyes! Look! See? And the way it works in that dark room, see, we're waiting, we're chipping away. If we can put a pinprick into it. You know what? A pinprick of light, a tiny, in a totally dark room, wow, you can see a lot. And yet, what a little bit we're at, but it will light it up. You play around in like that, you'd be amazed. In a totally pitch dark, a little bitty firefly, well, you can see so much. But realize how little you're actually seeing. See, and the student, all the teacher does, the teacher, and he would insist, the teacher had to be in the room with an enlightened teacher, who was in the room with an enlightened teacher, was in the room with an enlightened teacher. Yasutani even talked about it as a candle. Shakyamuni lit a candle. And before Shakyamuni, and then each succeeding generation is another candle. And the flame of Shakyamuni Buddha, see, is moved to the candle, that's moved to the candle, moved to the candle. 81 generations later, is it the same flame or different? See, it's an interesting thing. This is how I would see. This is what is so important. See, and did any of them, have any of them through their own ego? No. It has to be totally selfless. This is what Roshi's talking about. It was important. And he said, the Buddha knew the limitations of verbal expressions. In expressing the inexpressible, there is a danger of easily mistaking the words for the concrete reality that they are meant to convey. And that's why, see, we're always some distortion. See, we have to be very precise in the way we work with the words. By the way, part of koan practice, see, is to work with living words. See, living words. See, but even here, negative thoughts, see, what Roshi said earlier, see, it's your thinking that produces, see, the hell realm or the heaven realm. Your thinking. So again, words, even words themselves, see, we have to be very, very precise. We have to work with them very carefully. You don't reinforce the negative because the Buddha nature will reflect anything. See, it is here. It will reflect ignorance. It will reflect insanity. It will reflect war. But at the basic nature, the basic ground of it, see, is selfless compassion. But you have to cultivate that. You have to free yourself, see, from the confines, from the chains, from the gunk that we surround ourselves with. Don't go to the negative. See, energy, what is this energy? Sickness, disease, it's distorted energy. And karma has produced it. And we have the karma. We have karma, see, that we have to deal with. See, and this is Yakujo and the fox. See, you just deal with the karma and it's been set in place and it goes to the infinite future from the infinite past. This is where we play. And we play on this continuum. See, so we wake up and we reduce the negative energy, the vibration, the negative energy. See, we sustain the positive. Positive is selfless, egoless. See, that'll be frightening. No, no, no. See, trust it. That's what all this is about. Trust it. This is the place where the fearless ones walk. See, in expressing the inexpressible, there's danger of easily mistaking the words for the concrete reality that they are meant to convey. The famous metaphor of the finger pointing to the moon reminds us to see the moon directly and not to be preoccupied with the finger. See? Enlightenment must be realized by each individual, and each individual must be a lamp unto himself and herself.